Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about having our good friend David Dossie back on the show. David is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. 14 years he's been hanging out with us. He's the intellectual property attorney in our Brain Trust, and he's my intellectual property attorney. I'm glad to tell you that. Partner with Gallagher and Dossie, registered professional engineer and an intellectual property expert, and he's here to talk to us about some of the myths of intellectual property and some things that you need to know about, some things you might be believing in that aren't true. David, welcome back.
Jim, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. So let's go to work. Some of the fallacies of and the general myths of intellectual property, people think that you know, just if you're just operating a business, you're not inventing something new, that you don't need to pay attention to this. And that's not true, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, and that's one of the biggest general intellectual property fallacies out there, is that the only time to think about IP protection is when you're launching a new product or service. And let's face it, a lot of small businesses aren't regularly launching new products or services, and that surely doesn't mean that they shouldn't be thinking about intellectual property or don't have intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And there's a fine line between intellectual property strategy versus intellectual property management and how you marry those with business strategy. And nothing warms my heart more than when a potential client calls me and says something like, well, we noticed our competitor doing X, Y, or Z and think maybe we should be doing the same. Because that tells me that's a small business that's thinking strategically about intellectual property,
right?
Not just, you know, am I going to get a letter from a competitor, a cease and desist regarding the name of a new product or
right.
something along those lines.
Well, you know, I remind, over the years, I've reminded people of a study that was done in the late 90s that showed between the 70s and the end of the last century, the leverage that companies used, this is corporate America, inverted from 35% intellectual property and 65% physical to literally inverting. Those numbers inverted to 35% physical and 65% intellectual property. And small business owners, if they look around, realize that they're using more and more intellectual property, more and more virtual things, especially in the operation of their business. And so, you know, the intellectual property world is not, the big companies don't own the franchise on that, and you're creating it every day. You're creating and using intellectual property every day, and it's got to be part of your understanding as the CEO of your company, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And a small business owner needs to recognize, you know, you need to choose your language and choose your words carefully, because those words can instantly kill your credibility on so many fronts. And that's why, contrary to what I said before, when a potential client calls and they're using all the lingo incorrectly, referring to a trademark as a copyright or a patent as a trademark, you know, it's one thing, because I deal with that all the time, but if you're doing that to your banker, or you're using that type of language to a potential investor or someone that may mm-hmm. be considering buying your company, that kills your credibility to the point that it sometimes can't be repaired. So as a small business owner, if you just think about these myths and think about the language you're using, you don't have to read, you know, five novels and Bible-thick books on intellectual property just
right.
to get the key language down, so that you don't put your foot in your mouth
look unsophisticated and look like you don't know what you're doing. Which more and more people, your banker, for example, is more savvy about these things than they ever have been before. A prospective buyer if you're going to maximize the value of your business, they're going to be expecting you to understand what kind of intellectual property you're conveying to them, aren't they?
Absolutely. And if the listeners take only one thing from this, it is that there is a huge difference between an application trying to seek intellectual property protection versus an issued patent or a registered trademark.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've just filed a patent application or a trademark application, think of that as, you know, that's the ticket. That's the lottery ticket. You haven't won the lottery just because you bought a ticket. And saying things like, yeah, we have a patent on that, when actually you just filed, or we filed a patent on that mm-hmm. last month. Well, you actually filed an application. You don't get a patent or a trademark until it registers. So just be careful with the language you're using so that you don't prematurely, look bad.
Right. Exactly. We come back after these messages. We're going to get into some more of the myths of intellectual property, patents and copyrights and trademarks. After the break, 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.